maybe we'll get some rest this weekend. And maybe not. For those of you who are, you're only attending the first week, it is good to have been with you, and hope that some of the things that we have done have been beneficial for you. We plan on being here, Lord willing, the second week too, so those of you who are staying the second week, brace yourself for that. Just mentally prepare and you'll be all right. That's right. Jay, in case you didn't hear that, just don't have any expectations and you won't be disappointed. Okay, yesterday, instead of a trivia question, I posed to you to give some thought to the notion of overcoming nervousness in the public service, particularly when you're the person up here, whatever the task is that you're doing, reading, presiding over the Lord's table, speaking, song leading, etc., those kinds of things. And I gave my comments and my thoughts along those lines. Is there anything that you would like to add to that? Maybe something that helps you that we didn't touch on, that you'd like to share with the rest of us, and particularly the person who asked this question was a young person. And so they may need some more help. Yes. Not being able to see the audience. Okay. There's nobody there. All right. That's one that didn't come to mind. I'm sure there were many others. Dan? Those are good points, and the source is good too. Some comments were made already about Wendell, but I'm going to make a comment. I viewed him as a champion of people, and he knew the personal things going on in their lives, and would engage people in conversation and encourage them in the good things that were going on in their lives, and was very skilled at that. And I think that's something we all should strive to be, are champions of people. Encourage one another, even more as you see the day approaching. Okay, Rachel. Okay. Practice, perhaps in front of a small audience before you have a big audience. Or if that's not available, maybe in front of the mirror. So you can see that you look funny doing this. So don't do that, you know, or whatever it is. Good. Greg, we'll get to you. I'm working back to front here. Good. Could everyone hear that? Okay. Great. Go ahead.
I almost failed fourth or eighth grade music because I was excited. I was so backward. But through the church, after meeting with my wife, and getting up there to practice, I was able to, not only that, I run a company that got me started. I just looking at it from the practical standpoint.
The church gives us many practical experiences that are worthwhile in many other phases of life. Good. Sounds like you have a lovely wife, too. Okay, Doug. Good. Good. All right. Christy?
This is advice from our mother.
Okay. That's a pretty good source.
Yeah, but I confess that I was very nervous before a musical performance. And she says, well, Christy, you're being selfish. And I kind of went. And she says, you're thinking about yourself. Think about serving your audience.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Eldon.
The nerves are very close to the muscles. And when I was young, I started speaking at a young age also, I had done some things that made my muscles very sore. And the doctor says, well, there's just one big cure for that. I said, well, what's that? Go do it some more. So the same thing is true with our speaking abilities. You won't completely get rid of it, but you get the nerves where they're better able to adjust to it.
Okay. Good. Jay.
I think you should not completely get rid of nervousness to a certain extent is a good thing.
Right.
For me, one thing that helps me, I like to start my lessons in a very comfortable fashion, like a reading, for instance. I don't have to worry about anything. I just read it for a passage. And something else that helps me is I try to be highly organized. That way, if I get off track, sometimes I'll like stutter, and I'll stop, and I can look at my notes, and I know where I'm at, and I pick it up from there.
Good. Good points. Dwayne.
I think I would say enjoy the experience. You know, those of us who do public speaking or reading or whatever, I don't do song reading. After all, we're talking about God's Word. We have an opportunity to talk and give our thoughts on that with an audience who is going to listen. I think that's an enjoyable experience. And I had the biggest case of stage fright of anybody when I first was just asked to read the 12th chapter of Romans when I was 12 years old. But it took me years to realize that if I had something to say, it was enjoyable. And I still
enjoy the experience. And if I recall the story correctly, Dwayne didn't share the entire how it came about that he had to read the 12th chapter. Shortly after he was baptized, the speaker for the following Sunday called and talked to Dwayne's father and said, could Dwayne read the 12th chapter of Romans before my lesson this coming Sunday? And Dwayne's father said, Dwayne would be glad to.
The other part of that is I broke down and cried.
But you did all right, huh?
I continued to develop over.
And even though there may have been some stuttering or some shaking and all that, the people there loved you. And it worked out all right. Keith.
If I recall correctly, the question was specifically about song leading. And with that in mind, there are two things that I found very helpful. One is, as you are in your room or driving down the road, start beating out songs that you hear on the radio. As soon as you find the beat, switch stations. And just keep doing that. Find the beat. When all of a sudden you're continuing to beat and you realize, oh yeah, that must have been a bird's eye because they held that note. pay attention, practice. It is something that the more you practice, the more confident you are, the more comfortable you become. Composers of particular types of music tend to like certain time signatures. So don't pay attention to what kind of music you're listening to. But what you need to do is expose yourself as you're practicing this way to as many different types of music as the radio will allow you to be exposed to. Because it will change the beat, it will change the tempo. And if you can hear it, if you can feel it, when Michael is up there leading songs, sit back here and maybe with one finger on, as your hand rests on your leg, go ahead and beat out the time. Compare yourself to what other good leaders are doing, and you will be amazed with how much more comfortable you can become. Even to the point that when I was about 14, took suggestions from an audience. It was at Camp Dodge, and Sister Acree in Kansas City. She said, "Well, let's sing number 162." And I looked at it and I said, "I don't know that song." And she said, "Oh, yes, you do. It goes to the tune of Oh Danny Boy. You'll do fine." strangely enough, because I was really, I didn't know Oh Danny Boy, but not because of that, but because of the fact that I had just sat there and practiced and practiced and practiced. We made it. Wasn't entirely comfortable, but we made it. So just practice. Find opportunities. Don't waste opportunities to practice when they are important.
Yes.
Be ready to compliment that person and tell them they did well at doing that. It bolsters their courage.
Right. Good. Compliment. And honest compliments, obviously. Yeah.
Good.
Right. Right. We don't want to make them think they're better than they are, kind of thing. But yes, good, honest, heartfelt compliments. I want to tag onto Keith's comment for just a moment, and we'll get the rest of these in just a moment. But concerning the practice and finding the beat thing, that's a good thing to do. Let me give you some hints as to what to look for. If you are listening to anything except classical or some country western music, if you're listening to anything else, chances are it's going to be in 4. 99% of that stuff is going to be in 4. So you already know what the conducting pattern is going to be. So just find where the beat is. And typically in 4, 1 and 3 are the emphasized beats, with 1 being emphasized more than 3. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. Boom, 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 boom. Will probably be the background if it's modern music. We got tons of boom chick music. Boom, 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 boom. Trust me, you think I'm funny about that, but listen to all the modern songs and it's all boom chick stuff going on underneath with the percussion. Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you want to practice a 3 pattern, find some waltzes. Okay, now maybe waltzes aren't necessarily your favorite, but find some waltzes. Da 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 da, dun 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 dun, da 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 dun dun. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2. Now, country western can go either 3 or 4. There are lots of songs either way in that. So maybe you might want to be sure you're comfortable figuring out 3 or 4 before you try and figure out some of those. But typically most stuff's going to be 3 or 4. Okay, we had some more comments, and well, you already spoke. You didn't get it all out? Okay, get it all out now.
Practical advice for you is find your page number first,
stage number, and while everybody is wrestling to find it, blow the pitch pipe, hit your beginning note in your head, so as soon as there's silence, you can go. I know from personal experience that if I didn't have my beginning note by the time the silence came, my voice would never find that beginning note. It was gone because I was so nervous that I couldn't find it again. So that I had the number, I announced it, I blew the pitch pipe while everybody was going through it, hit my note so that I could start as soon as there was silence. And if you're struggling as a young songwriter, that was the way that I got through it.
Good. Good. As I said yesterday, know yourself and work within your limitations or capabilities. We can look at that two different ways, limitations or capabilities. May I share something else about you with the rest, if I may? Dan, as I understand it, had some pitch matching issues. And correct me if I don't get this story right. But what helped him overcome that was practice. Not necessarily the practice one receives in actually leading songs, but some practice at home. And if I recall this correctly, it is your lovely wife who helped you with that. Because he would sing and she'd be able to say, nope, that's not the right pitch. Let's do it like this. And he kept on doing it again and again, and she could say, yep, that's right, and no, that's not. Go up, go down, whatever it took to get the right pitches. Is that a fair summary of that?
I bought me a pitch pipe for my birthday, and I learned one note at a time. One note at a time.
By the way, I don't know if you did this, but let me give you a technique along those lines. If you have pitch matching issues, and I'll have to have a... I didn't bring a pitch pipe. May I borrow one, please?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. And I hope I can demonstrate this well. I'm going to hum and blow into the pitch pipe at the same time. I'm going to try and match the pitch of the pitch pipe. If I do this right, what will happen is as I stray from the pitch of the pitch pipe, there will be some, this is a acoustic thing. There will be some, what I call beating. It'll go, the slower the beating, the closer you are to the desired pitch. When the beating completely stops, you're there or you're way far away. Okay? Let's see if I can do this now. This is the danger of doing something on the spur of the moment. Did you hear as I went away from it, it went... Okay? When it's going... I'm off. Okay? And the closer I get to it, is what you want. Okay? And most of us can hear that stuff going on. Okay? That's a way to practice matching pitch. Don't do, you know, obviously this is not something we do in the public assembly, but this is something that can help those. If you don't have another person, the easiest way is another person that can hear you and tell you, no, go up a little bit, go down a little bit, you've got it. That kind of stuff. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
One thing that you can think about is that the audience doesn't always see the face. That they don't always know when you messed up.
That's right, the audience doesn't always know it. Let me give a case in point. I sat down yesterday. Now, some of you may have noticed this, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But nobody said anything. I sat down yesterday at the beginning of Jay's lesson and looked down, and my zipper was wide open. And I hadn't gone to the bathroom in between times. So, smart person that I am, I started thinking back, and I concluded, I must have been up here leading songs and doing all this with my zipper down the whole time. I wondered why every time I'd come out front, some of you would do this. You know, just trying to practice what Randy talked about Monday, I guess. But I suspect some of you didn't even notice. And that's one of those things, what do you do if you do notice? I mean, you can look away, but that doesn't really work if you're trying to watch the soul leader. And you can raise your hand and say something, and then everyone that didn't notice now notices. Or, you know, you can pass the word to one of the church leaders, and they come up discreetly and mention it, and so then what do? You turn around? And, you know, it's just not a, there's no win to this situation. But at least I'm thankful that I got up early yesterday morning and did some laundry, and I had clean clothes on yesterday, so for those of you who noticed, I apologize. I did check today. But you're right. Lots of times they don't even notice. You're right. Good point. Okay. Is there anything that's pressing? Yes, go ahead. Okay. Or maybe I shouldn't be the example, but, huh? Yeah, young men starting out shouldn't expect to be fully proficient. And it was a young person who asked this, along with the young person thing, you've got the voice changing issue going on too. You know, when you talk, you're not sure where it's going to come. And that affects singing too. My advice on that, sing high in the boys or women's register as long as you can possibly do that. That will really help. Sing there, and then when that just can no longer serve you, then you're probably ready to go down. And maybe there may be a while in there where you might just have to pick real carefully what songs you choose to sing so that you know you can sing those in one of the two ranges. Anything else? Janice. He's fortunate.
But maybe that would be a thing for boys to try. Try to sing bass when they're by themselves or perhaps taking bass, so maybe that won't happen.
Or the tenor part for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, anything else? Okay, let's do Peace, Perfect Peace, 239. Remember all the things that we've talked about as far as posture, breathing, the parts that are tense versus the parts that are relaxed, 239 in the Red Songbooks. And I'm just going to listen most of the time. So you'll have to watch enough to figure out when the notes are going to be. Rachel. Okay. Right. I am going to talk about pronunciation and those kinds of things next week, but the general rule is give the sound to the vowel, not any of the consonants, even consonants that we can hold out like R. Give the long part to the vowel and make the consonant short. Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Breath.
Peace, perfect, peace.
There are a few more back there. Raise your hand if you need one. And pass your routers if you pass out. If you need one, raise your hand. Keep your hand up until you get one. Okay, we have several over here. Someone in the task of passing these out? Their hand is? The Elijah song. Elijah. I know there was something because I grabbed one this morning. But, well, we're going to use those two, so that's okay too. Did you guys get it? You still need? You still need? Elijah. Okay, you got to make some. All right. So, Sharon, you need tonight? Got one? Song. All five verses. We'll just go straight through. There was a man of God who lived a long, long time ago, who told the king there's no more rain unless I say so. To show the king that he was wrong, that God indeed does rain. Elijah, Elijah, Elijah was his name. On the Carmel's mount, this prophet stood to prove which God was true. For Baal was false, his prophets lied with fire they could not do. Then this man prayed and fire came down and everybody knew. Elijah, Elijah, up from the great and true. Elijah prayed and rain came down upon the thirsty ground. But Ahab's wife said he'd be dead if only he were found. For 40 days he traveled on to find a place to hide. Elijah, Elijah, fear not, God's on your side. Okay, looks like we have more copies. Raise your hand and keep them up if you need, and he'll do that as we continue with verse 4.
Go tell Ahab that they have sinned and they shall surely die. For Jezebel has made the plan and stolen with a lie. And they have killed a very good man and taken what he had. Elijah, Elijah, they surely have been mad. Now God would take this man to heaven in such a splendid way. His work was done, he had been true, this was his happy day. God sent his fiery chariot down and swept him to the sky. Elijah, Elijah, he did not have to die.
Okay, good. All right, we had a question from yesterday, which was actually posed to John and John Lee, and he didn't want to handle it. So he was smart enough not to. I'm not that smart. But I'll give you my thoughts for whatever they're worth. And this will be, if you want to make some comments on this on Monday, you can give some thought to this, and we'll begin. In lieu of a trivia question, we'll allow you some time, like we did this morning about yesterday's topic. On Monday, we'll allow some time for you to give some comment on this if you have some, in addition to what's being said today. How can we get more meaning out of the lyrics of a song? And of course, at this time, we're spending so much time on the music part, and I don't believe this question was meant as a criticism of that, but you know, the lyrics are the important part, really. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. And that is a focus on the words. How can we get more meaning out of the song? And when we remove the music part, the lyrics of a song become a poem. So the question can be thought of as, how can we get more meaning from this poem? And that question, in many ways, is like the question, how can we get more meaning from maybe a verse in the Bible? Obviously, the Bible is inspired, and most of these lyrics are not inspired by the Holy Spirit, I'm speaking. And most of these lyrics are not, so there's obviously a big difference there. But the person who wrote down the words gave some thought to that. And how can we gain as much as possible from what they were thinking? And I have several suggestions along those lines. Take time to look at the lyrics slowly and carefully. I must confess, and this is by no means a criticism of Jay, but I'm having some challenges. But first of all, one of the things is just a little personal problem of mine. When I sit down and Jay's going, I'm still unwinding from what I've done up here. And so I'm sort of stopping that track. And then I get engaged with what's going on with Jay's track. And I'm going along with him. And all of a sudden, he yanks me to 70 miles an hour instantly. And, you know, and he makes his point and he talks about, you know, this. And I want to say, wait a minute, I want to go back and look at that. And he's on to the next one. And, you know, if I could stop and do that, but then I'm going to miss maybe the next three psalms that he talks about as I go back and give more thought to some of the things that were just said. I'm going to listen to the tape, to the recording, and go back and spend some more time on that stuff. I'm glad he's covering as much as he is. This is not a criticism of his method. It's just, it's a great overview. Now I'm going to take that and slow it down. Stop it at my slow learning pace so that the richness of what is there and the comments that he has made along those lines can take time to sink. That is the beauty of recording these kinds of things. We can go back. We don't have to catch everything as it is said. So do that. Take some time to just look at the words and sit down and think about it. Sometimes the song leader might want to make some comments along those lines. I'm not going to always do that, but from time to time, that is appropriate to do that. Notice and appreciate any poetic devices that are used. If the poet puts something in there, it's probably there for a reason, and it should add some value to the poem. These are more than just thoughts. These are thoughts arranged in a specific way. The rhyme scheme is very typical in our culture, with things ending in a rhyme, but very often there are other devices that are used also. Answer these three basic questions, and these are the same kind of questions that we might ask if we're studying Scripture. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? And I'm perhaps more guilty than many people in sometimes not, you know, because I'm focusing on the music and I'm, you know, particularly a new song, you're trying to figure out the pitch and the rhythm and all of that. And the words are the last thing I look at. Because even though I can read music, I still read English better than I read music. And so I'm focusing on the thing that's hard for me, and the reading of English I expect to sort of come naturally, and sometimes it doesn't. I can remember when we were learning the song, The Spacious Firmament on High, the lyrics are, the spacious firmament on high with all the blue ethereal sky. Ethereal is not one of those words I work into casual conversation. And I don't even remember what word I was singing, but I was worried about the notes and getting all that, and I was singing something else. And finally, as we were learning it, a sister raised her hand, and she happened to be one who didn't read music all that well, so she wasn't even bothered with where the notes are, and said, Mike, that's not the right word. And so, yeah, we got to be careful to get the right words. What does it say? What does it mean? What does it mean to me? Be open to seeing additional significances at some later point in your life. How many times have you maybe even memorized a psalm And then sometime later, you looked at that same psalm with the same words that you memorized a long, long time ago, and something else significant came out of it, just blaring out of it. And you thought, wow, how did I miss this? Well, we can't get it all at once. So be open to seeing other things later. That's okay. That helps us. That's part of growing. Okay, those are my comments along those lines. And you might give some thought to anything that you might want to add to that on Monday. All right. I want to see if I can get to a finishing point on some of this music theory stuff. So if you want to get your notes out along those lines, things that you've been taking. Where do I want to start? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. We are told to sing and admonish one another in psalm, hymn, and spiritual song. I can just think something and have the thought. But when I say it, that adds a dimension to it. If I choose to take the thought and put it into poetical form, that adds another dimension to it. If I choose to take that poem and add music to it, that adds an additional dimension to it. And I think God understood us as human beings, how we like that multi-dimension, how that helps us, how it's important to have music with words, music to the words. Not just words, they're appropriate times for words, but words in a poetical form. And not just words in a poetical form, but poetical form that has been set to music. And I hope that what we are doing here in maybe some of the mechanics of this will help you gain a greater appreciation of what's going on here from all kinds of levels. Musical, poetical, spiritual. Because I can't untwine them. So I'm not going to bother to try. Okay, let's start here. Okay, we talked a little bit about this picture here. It's a picture of a piano keyboard, and we mentioned that with the white keys, we can just give them the letter names. And the distance between any two consecutive keys, for example, this one and this one, is what we call a half step. From here to here is a half step. From here to here, because there's no black note in between, is a half step. Many of these can have multiple names. When we raise a half step, we can add a sharp, calling it F sharp. When we lower a half step, we can add a flat, calling it G flat. G flat, F sharp. E raised a half step is E sharp or F. From this, I made this little chart, which can be equally useful. It's really the same information. These are all the half steps. 12 unique half steps to an octave. Not counting repeating the beginning and end. If we repeat it again, it would be 13. 12 unique steps to the half step, 12 unique half steps to the octave. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. The ones that are aligned vertical are really the same pitch that we give with two different names. They are enharmonic pitches. Two different ways to write it on the staff, two different ways to say it, but the same pitch. Then we got started yesterday with at least looking at this. This is a G major scale. a note, a scale that starts on G, ends on G. Here is a C major scale, a scale that starts on C, ends on C. If we add solfege to it, I use the system of movable do, which is not universal. There are some cultures in Western society that use a fixed do system. I don't like it for multiple reasons. And I think the short answer to this, because I don't want to get into fixed do versus movable do. We're doing movable do because that's what I like, so that's what you'll like. One of the problems I have with fixed do, C is always do. And I've known some people that have learned that, and I ask them, okay, sing for me, please, a C-sharp major scale with fixed do. And they can't do it. And I can't do it either. I don't even know all the solfege syllable names. D, re, we already have me. What's me raised a half step? But it still has the me thing. I don't know. So anyway, that right there just stops me from wanting to do fixed do. So we're doing movable do. So for example, with, let me do G. Do. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Okay? That's the G major scale, C major. Do. Oh, let me put the solfege here. It's here. There we go. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Okay. The same intervals in between pitches, we just started at a different place. That's the whole notion of key, is which notes are we going to use? Okay? But once we get those notes fixed, then those intervals are the same. Between A and B is a whole step. Between B and C is a half step. C to D is a whole step. D to E is a whole step. E to F sharp is a whole step. F sharp to G is a half step. Look at the intervals in between the notes of the C major scale. C to D is a whole step. D to E is a whole step. E to F is a half step. F to G is a whole step. G to A is a whole. A to B is a whole. B to C is a half. What do you notice about these two lists of intervals? They are the same. Whole, whole, half. Whole, 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 half. All major scales, all 15 of them. I said this yesterday, but we were kind of zooming at the end of the time, so I want to say it again. All major scales use this same whole, whole, half, whole, whole, half pattern. All of them. And if we put solfege to them with movable do, they are all do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. All of them. Okay? All major scales have this pattern of whole, whole, half, whole, whole, half. Now, an easy way to remember that pattern, just remember whole, whole, half. And we have... whole, whole, half. This must be important. We have whole, whole, half. And we have whole, whole, half. And in between we have whole. Sometimes they call... how many notes are from here to here? Four. Sometimes they call that a tetrachord with a whole, whole, half interval sequence. A tetrachord. Another tetrachord with a whole step in between. Those of you who play the game Tetris, the video game Tetris, how many squares are there to the shapes? Four. All of the shapes have four little squares to them. Now, they may be arranged differently, but that's how it came up with this name, because tetra meaning four. Okay? But whether or not you remember the tetrachord, the more important part here is whole, whole, half, whole, whole, half. All 15 major scales are that way. Here is one way to construct major scales. List all 18 notes. List all 8 notes in alphabetical order, beginning with the letter of the scale. So, if you're constructing a B scale, you'd start with B. After you get to G, start over again. At A, don't worry about any sharps or flats yet. Place this pattern, whole, whole, half, whole, half, between consecutive notes, and then progress through the scale and add flats or sharps as necessary to get to the desired intervals to complete the scale. Note, a major scale can have either flats or sharps, but not both. Any one major scale will not have both flats and sharps in it. So, for example, let's construct an F major scale. First step is just to write down all the letters in alphabetical order. F, G, when you get to G, start over, A, B, C, D, E, F. That's the first step. Second step, put all those intervals in between. Whole, half, whole, half. There they are. Next step, it's nice to have a little chart like this to use. Go through it and see what we need. Start at F. And from F to the next note up, what do we need? Whole or half? Whole. That's two of them. One, two. What do we get? The letter G. Okay? From G to the next one, what do we need? A whole. One, two. That's the letter A. That's what we have. So we'll leave it alone. From A, we need to go up how much? A half step. Will that help? Okay, from A, we need to go up a half step. That's one. One. What do we have? Either A sharp or B. How do I know which one, or B flat, rather. Either A sharp or B flat. How do I know which one to choose? Because I have to go in alphabetical order. I already had an A. The next one has to be some form of B. And it has to be a half step away from A. Well, that's B flat. So I need a B flat there. I think I wrote that in on this one. Let's see what I got. There we go. Okay, so I need a B flat there. Okay? All right, from B flat, how much do I go up? Whole. Okay, so that's two of them. One, two, what note? C. From C, whole, so one, two, that's D. From D, what? Whole, one, two, that's E. From E, how much? Half step, which would be either E sharp or F, but we already used E, so it has to be F, because we've got to go through in alphabetical order. Okay? That's how we construct a scale. And it just so happens, there is only one major scale that has one flat. If I count how many flats are in this scale, once I'm done with that, I see there's one, B flat. There's only one major scale that has only one flat. It's the key of F. It's the scale of F. So that's how we create our key signatures. If it's got one flat, it's going to be the key of F. Okay, let's do one more. Oh, and then we can place the solfege there. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. Okay, let's do a D major scale. D, E, F, G, start over, A, B, C, D. Put them in alphabetical order, starting at D, finishing on D. Put in the intervals. What are they? Whole, whole, half, whole, 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 half. Okay? Like that. All right. Then it's nice to have a handy chart like this, which you could copy if you haven't yet. Okay, we're going to start at D. We want what interval beyond B? Whole. So that's how many of these? Two. One, two. Takes us to what note? E. Okay. Then, what from E? What interval? Whole. One, two. Takes us to F sharp. It's going to have to be F sharp because we want some form of F. And if it's a whole step away from E, you got to have F sharp. So, put a little sharp on the F. F sharp. Okay, from F sharp, what interval? This thing, the ring is really loud on this, so you're going to have to speak up. Half, okay? And so half up from F sharp is? G, so G natural. What interval from a G? Whole, 1, 2, so that's A. What interval from A? Whole. 1, 2, so that's B. What interval from B? Whole. 1, 2, so that's C sharp. And what interval from C sharp? Half. And that's D. How many sharps are there in the D scale? Two. It is the only key in major that has two sharps. So if I see two sharps in the key signature, I know it's the key of D based on the notes of the D major scale. Okay? And we could go all through all 15 of them. We will not in the time here right now. But that's how these are created. And that's how I can look, because I know these, at a key signature, the number of sharps and flats, and know what scale it is based on, and know what key it is in. We'll talk a little bit more about that on Monday, but that's the basics of that. Questions on anything I covered? Oh, put the solfege in. Questions on anything I've covered there? We have two. We'll start here.
Why is it important to know what key is in anything?
Why is it important? This is a good question. Why is it important to know what key it's in? There are lots of reasons for that. One of the more practical reasons is just to get started. Typically, a song will start on the tonic triad, on a triad built on the first scale degree. It's going to be the do, the mi, or the sol. The beginning notes in all four parts, each of them is going to be one of those three, either a do, or a mi, or a sol. If I know what key it is in, for example, if the song is in D major, I will, on the pitch pipe, or on, I'm using this to pitch, I will sound a D on this. In fact, I'll just do that right now. Do, there's a D. So I know the starting pitches are going to be either do, mi, sol. It's going to be one of those three. And as soon as I do that, we have set the key. We have set the tone. We have set in our mind the tonic. The tonic, this is another word that means lots of things in our language. In music, the tonic means the main tone, the focus tone, the D, around which everything else is based for this song. We have set that in our mind, and because we've sung the tonic triad, do, mi, sol, everybody knows what pitch to start on. I kind of like us all to start together. I don't like to sing the first three measures by myself and then the others figure out what their part is and come on in. And so one of the practical purposes of knowing key is knowing what the tonic triad is, knowing what note to sound on here, knowing what my do, mi, sol are, because they're going to vary with every key. It's still do, mi, and sol, same interval between them, but they would start at if do would be a different pitch with different keys. Go ahead. The root is always the bottom note of the chord. If it is the tonic triad, the root is the tonic. However, the root might be something else if the triad is built on a different note of the scale, and I'm going to cover that hopefully in just a couple of minutes. Okay? But of the tonic triad, the root is the tonic, is the first step of the scale, the name of the scale, the name of the key. Okay? Good question. Hang on to that root question, though, because as we have other chords built on different scale degrees, the root will be different. But the root of the tonic triad is the key, the do, the tonic. Okay? I answered your question, okay? All right. Others? Okay, let's press on to the next stuff then. I'm going to end this and go to this. Okay. Here is the C major scale. We're just using it as an example. The notes C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. Just so happens no sharps or flats in the key of C. So if I see in the key signature no sharps or flats, and it's a song in major key, I know it's in the key of C. It's based on these notes. Now, I've already used the word tonic, and I've already used some of these other words, and I'm going to let you see all of them today. First of all, there's several ways we can do this. We can give them the letter name, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. We can use the solfege, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And we can also use these words, which aren't very comfortable to sing. Solfege is way easier, but these terms are also used. The first scale degree is called the tonic. The second scale degree is the supertonic. The third scale degree, the mediant. The fourth scale degree, the subdominant. The fifth scale degree, the dominant. The sixth scale degree, the submediant. The seventh scale degree, the leading tone. And then eighth scale degree takes us back to the same note that we started on, the tonic again. So there are really only seven different names there. So if I say a dominant chord, I mean a chord built on the fifth scale degree, because the dominant is the fifth scale degree. If I say a tonic triad, I mean a triad, triad meaning three, a chord of three notes, do, mi, and sol, built upon the tonic, the first scale degree. Okay, now, here's the magic, and it's not magic, but here's what I've been alluding to for several days, and many of you saying, I don't understand what you're talking about, so hopefully we can understand what I'm talking about. Here are the seven tonics, eight if you count the one chord being repeated. Here are the seven triads, with an eighth if you count the tonic repeated. Here are the seven triads. A tri meaning three, like tricycle has three wheels. A triad has three notes. And they are how far apart? How far apart between that bottom note and that middle note? Not a whole step. How far apart between the bottom note and the middle note there? You can just look at it and see. That's it. It's a third. C, D, E. Because we're going from C to E. It's a third. How far apart between the E and the G? A third. Thirds build snowmen for us. And we see how all the snowmen we have up there? They're all snowmen because they're built on thirds. Triads are built on thirds. The root of the chord, the third of the chord, a third above the root, and the fifth of the chord, a fifth above the root. 1, 3, and 5. Okay, there's the root, third, fifth, and they're each a third above the other. And so if the bottom one's on a line, the next note is going to be on the next line above, the next note's going to be on the next line above. If the bottom one's on a space, the next one on a space, the next one's on a space. Line, 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 space, 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 line, 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 etc. Okay. So we could say that this is the tonic triad. This is the supertonic triad. This is the mediant triad. This is the subdominant triad, the dominant triad, submediant, leading tone, and back to the tonic again, triad. Why are these important? Because these are the fundamentals of the chords that are used in our songs. 99% of the, until we get to seventh chords, 99% of the chords that are used, well, maybe less than that, 90% of the chords that are used are going to be like this. Now, they may be spread out, but it's going to be those notes. You'll also notice I put some Roman numerals under them. The Roman numerals are simply the scale degree. The first scale degree is C. The second scale degree is D, third scale degree is E, fourth scale degree is F, fifth scale degree is G, sixth scale degree is A, seventh scale degree is B, eighth scale degree is the same as the first scale degree, C, in the key of C. Okay. The question is, why are some capitalized and some not? And the answer to that is that it tells us something about the quality of the triad. A major triad, bum, 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 we'll use a capital Roman numeral. A minor triad, bum, 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 we'll use a lowercase. There are also two more that we use. A diminished triad, bum, 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 we'll use lowercase with a little circle after it, like a degree symbol. Notice the seven is a diminished triad. See a little circle after it there? And then an augmented triad, which is really hard to sing. Bong, 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 is an augmented triad. It will use a capital Roman numeral with a little plus symbol after it. Notice there are none in the major. So capital indicates a major triad, bum, 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 with the plus symbol indicates an augmented triad, which there are none here. Minor, lowercase, bum, 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 lowercase with a little degree symbol, diminished, bum, bum, bum. All right, now, when I say then, and how have I defined thus far a authentic cadence? An authentic cadence. Five to one. There's the definition of authentic cadence. Doesn't matter perfect or imperfect. 5-2-1. That means the penultimate chord, the second to the last chord, is going to be the dominant triad, built on the fifth scale degree. If it's in the key of C, it's going to be a G major chord. And 5-2-1, the ultimate triad is going to be a one chord, built on the first scale degree. That's a perfect. That's an authentic cadence. 5-2-1. The second to the last chord is a 5, built on the fifth scale degree. The last chord is a 1, built on the first scale degree. And 5-1 screams out to us authentic cadence. Then, to be perfect authentic cadence, has to have two additional things. Not only 5-1, both chords must be in root position. By that we mean, the 5 chord must have, if it's in the key of C, G on the bottom. The bass must be singing a G. If the bass is singing any one of these other notes, either the B or the D, it is not in root position. It's in an inversion. Okay? Both chords have to be in root position. So the 5 chord, the G must be on the bottom if it's in the key of C. In the 1 chord, the C must be on the bottom. Okay? We base root position on the bass note. What note does the bass note have? Do they have the root of the chord? Then it's in root position. Yes, yes. If the bottom note of the chord as printed is not the root of the chord, if it's the third of the chord, it's in first inversion. If it's the fifth of the chord, it's in second inversion. Okay, so to be perfect authentic, they both have to be in root position, and then also the sopranos must end on the tonic. Both of those things must be true. So really three things, 5-1, both chords in root position, soprano ending on the tonic. So that's what I've meant when I've said that before, and hopefully that has cleared some of that up for some of you. Any questions there?
Another way of saying soprano is on the tonic would be soprano ends on
do. Right. Or the first scale degree. There's several ways to say the same thing. Right. Okay? If it's 5-1, but you have two, you don't have either both chords in root position or soprano doesn't end on the tonic, then it's an imperfect authentic cadence. If it's 5-1, it's still authentic. Okay, question? Why is it called what?
Natural key.
Natural key, I understand, but I'm not sure that it is called a natural key. Now we have in the minor, we have the because we have three forms of the minor. We have the natural minor and the melodic minor and the harmonic minor. And in those, the difference there is the natural is the first form that we start with, and the other two are modifications of that. But with major, I've never heard that term applied. So I guess some could call this a natural keys because there's no, everything's natural. There's no flats or sharps. But I've never heard that applied to a major key.
I always have.
Really?
Well, I don't know about major and minor, but I've always heard C
as natural. Oh, okay. They may be referring to the fact that it has no flats or sharps in, and C is the only one that has no flats or sharps. Yeah. I personally wouldn't use that term because of what it means with the minors. And there is a distinction between natural minor, melodic minor, and harmonic minor. We don't have that confusion or that those issues with the major key. Other questions? May I sing one? I know my time is done, but I want to sing. Can I sing one, please? Okay. He said yes. Okay, let's sing. I better make it important, huh? Oh, let's do from the Blue Songbooks. Two forty-three. Now, we haven't really worked on the verses part of this. We've only worked on the chorus, but you can work on it right now. Two flats tell me key of B flat, so that's what I'm sounding on the pitch pipe. No sol, there's the soprano, B, there's the alto, do, there's the bass, so is the tenor.